Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the greats check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 greats. Even 51 greats.
And the rest of the 2007 NFL season.
Go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Well, that's timing, huh? God almighty. I hope your day's gone a little bit better than mine has so far today. Holy moly. You know, you skip a week, you don't play football a week, and everything goes to hell in a handbasket around here. I just sat out. I got a gripe for a minute. First of all,
we do have something to look forward to.
Yes, we do. We do have something great to look forward to. We're going to play Patriots Match Game 2007 today. Yes, we are. Can't wait. We're going to do this one at the top of the next hour, right at 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock Eastern? Okay, perfect. So you can whet your appetite for this. I have to breathe for a second. Okay, now that we have all of our faculties together here, just one little complaint, all right? One little complaint. Stay off your cell phone when you're in the car. Because I think that's the accident that I just went through in downtown Providence. Somebody was on a cell phone, and I saw it happen in front of me. And somebody got rear-ended, and it led into a huge, major car pileup. So that was one thing. And then you get here, I'm already 10, 15 minutes late. And by the way, it's taken me an hour and 10 minutes officially to get here from what normally takes me about 25 minutes, 30 minutes tops. It took me an hour and 10 today. On top of that, get here to the security gate here at Gillette, and somebody pulls up, cuts me off, gets in front of me. Yeah. Gets in front of me, and then I have to sit behind him for almost 10 minutes out of the security gate. Thank you. Okay. Now I'm done. I had to get that off my chest. Sometimes you just got to do it. Sometimes you just got to do it. Now it's all out, and it's all over, and now we can kind of move onward here. So, anyway, my apologies for being a couple of minutes short today and a couple of minutes tardy, shall we say. I'm glad that you're with us. I hope you're ready for football because I know I am. I have to admit, I tried on purpose to take a little bit of time away from football. Hard as it may be to believe, I tried to take a little bit of time away. You know, when it's your off week, you know, I don't know how you look at it. We didn't really get into this much last week, but when it's the off week, you know, you're not sure what you have to look forward to in terms of your own team's games. We didn't have a game to play, so you can kind of look at it one of two ways. You can either use the time to get things done around the house, maybe, you know, spend some time with your significant others, your family, do something charitable. I don't know. Or, you know, you could watch some other games going on and you get a look at other teams. Well, I thought originally that's probably what I would do this week. But quite honestly, I just wasn't really – I mean, I watched the Cowboys-Giants game. It was a national game. It was the second game of the doubleheader, I think, on Fox on Sunday. I watched that one. Wasn't much else, really, I thought, you know, that was going on. I managed to get some other things done. And, you know, it's kind of like the team. The team tries to take at least a little time away from the game in order to not only rest but to recharge the batteries. Really, that's what it's all about. It's all about recharging batteries. It's a long season, and it's a grueling, grinding season. I realize there's only one game played per week, but the physical and mental toll is such that, you know what, it can wear on you. It can wear on you. Hey, the PFW guys, I mean, when they do the show on Wednesdays during the off season, I mean, it wears on them. I'm sure you drive them crazy. Oh, heavens no, that would never happen, right? I mean, I realize we're all fans, which is short for fanatical, but fact is that you got to have a little time just to kind of, you know, recharge and get on with things. So I tried to do that to an extent on Sunday. Very disappointed in the New Orleans Saints. That's the team I had at my pool this week, and I got booted. Can't believe they gave up 37 points to the stinking Rams. The St. Louis Rams! easily pushing the Dolphins for worst team in the NFL. And they get Steven Jackson back, and boom, they put 37 points on the board. Shame on the Saints. First of all, shame on the Rams for being that bad to begin with, but shame on the Saints for not showing up. Brutal. That was one lasting impression I think I had from this weekend, probably because I had a little, at least a small stake in the game. But I kept thinking to myself, I'm thinking, you know, wow, why aren't we playing? Why couldn't we be playing? Why do we have to be this week? Well, you got to take it at some point in time. So, you know, we take stock of things now. The final bye week of the season, everybody's going to play every week from here on out now. I'm sure you probably watched or heard of by now with some glee the Colts losing as they did to the San Diego Chargers, which I know I watched. I think I watched the first quarter. I watched the first part of the implosion of that game, and then I watched the last quarter of that game on Sunday, in addition to the Cowboys and Giants. And I'm sure that there's a certain amount of happiness or giddiness in Patriot Nation over the misfortune that befell not only the Colts, but Adam Vinatieri in particular, because he missed a couple of field goals. The last one, of course, was a chippy from 29 yards that would have given him a very improbable win. No way that the Colts deserved to win that game. No way. But honestly, the way that they played for 3.5 quarters, I don't think the Chargers deserved to win that game either. I mean, they got a couple of returns for touchdowns. You know, they intercepted Peyton Manning 6 times. That's, I mean, you know, it just goes to show you, even the best can have days like that. So, you know, hey, knock on wood or Formica or whatever it may be. Fact is, it can happen to anybody if it can happen to a guy like Manning. And that was really a miserable performance, and yet they still almost won the game. So that tells me I personally don't believe the Chargers to be a threat. I really don't. I don't think the Chargers are a threat. I think that game, what I saw on Sunday, eliminates them, I think, from serious title contention. I think that if those two teams do meet again in the playoffs somewhere on down the line, I think the Colts mop the floor with them. They are offensively challenged at the wide receiver position. Even getting Chambers, I mean, he hasn't worked himself into that mix yet at all. And unless somehow over the next 6 weeks, 7 weeks, that magically sort of you know, reforms itself, I don't see the Chargers at all being a factor. First of all, they're going to have to win the division. And I don't realize they're 5-4 right now, and they're sort of the de facto leader in that division just because Kansas City and Denver are horrible. But they're going to end up with, you know, no better than probably a 3, maybe even a 4 seed, you know, as a division champ there. And, you know, they could lose a first-round game. If the AFC playoffs were to start this week, you'd have the Patriots as a 1. You would have Pittsburgh as the 2 based on divisional records. They and the Colts are both 7-2. So based on conference records, the Steelers would be the 2. The Colts would be the 3, the Chargers would be the 4, and then you would have Jacksonville and Tennessee as 5-6, I believe. And so that means then you would have Tennessee facing the Colts, and then you would have the Chargers entertaining Jacksonville. And I don't think the Chargers beat Jacksonville. I think the Colts probably mopped the floor with the Titans. It's going to lead, all roads are going to lead right back here to New England, and it'll probably be the Colts, even with them playing as poorly as they did. They still almost stole a game they had no business being in on Sunday. Shame on the Chargers for not being able to, you know, step on the jugular. So I think we saw some flaws there, but I'm sure you got a certain amount of enjoyment over that. So here's what, you know, we kind of have to approach here going into game number 10, week number 11 in the league this week with the matchup with the Buffalo Bills. As, you know, Coach Belichick said yesterday in his press conference, this is a different Buffalo team than what the Patriots faced first time around in winning 38-7 here at Gillette. They've won 4 straight games, first of all. Granted, it's been no great shakes. They haven't really gone into an offensive explosion. They're still playing somewhat revolving door at quarterback, although J.P. Losman is apparently going to be the starter again for this next Sunday night. They still are pretty solid defensively, if imperfect on offense. We don't know what the current status will be of Marshawn Lynch, who has a bum ankle now based on what happened this past week for the Bills. And we won't get any kind of a word on that until tomorrow at the earliest, and it'll probably be something that'll go right to game time. But a less than, 100% Marshawn Lynch is going to impact the Bills, and that may end up being a determining factor. It's possible. But the one thing the Patriots are going to have to work on more than anything else, I think, is staying interested. Fighting over confidence, yes, but staying interested and focusing. This, the tough thing for this team to do is going to be to focus, because they are being handed, the division title, although they can't technically clinch it this week. Buffalo would have had to lose this last weekend for the Patriots to clinch the division in Week 11. We talked about this a little bit last week. And Buffalo won, so it'll take this week and then next week before the Patriots can clinch. So they could clinch in Week 12, which is still pretty doggone early. Based on my loose look at the schedule as it now stands. So they've got that handed to them. They've got a three-game, count it now, over the Colts. Three-game lead as far as home field advantage throughout the AFC playoffs. They have a chance to get a three-game lead, or more over the Steelers. They got the Steelers now. They've got a two-game lead over the Steelers and still a game with the Steelers to play later this season. So it's all right there. I think complacency is certainly going to be a factor. Focus is going to be a factor. Indifference is going to be a factor. I mean, this team is going to learn. It's going to have its ability to focus stretched and tested and challenged. Probably even yourself, you're going to have your ability to focus on the next game at hand challenged. I'm going to have my ability to focus on the next game challenged. We all are going to have our ability to focus on the next game challenged, because it's all being handed to the Patriots in the AFC. It's over for the most part. I realize we got 7 weeks left to play. There are two games that you feel like maybe the Patriots might have trouble with. This, by the way, coming up Sunday, not being one of them. And even if they lost both of the games that you think that they might have trouble with, at worst, they're tied with the Colts. And they own the win over them, so they've got the advantage there. And they might be tied with Pittsburgh. Depends on if Pittsburgh is one of those games they end up dropping. Of course, then you've got the whole 16-0 regular season thing still to shoot for. And maybe that's enough to keep these guys focused. Maybe rewriting the record books is enough to keep these guys focused. Maybe a chance to, not only win a fourth Super Bowl for the franchise, but to cement their place in the annals of NFL history by joining the 72 Dolphins as an unbeaten team and surpassing their record because of the 16-game regular season as opposed to the 14-game season that they played back in 1972, maybe that's enough for these guys to stay focused. Frankly, at the beginning of the year, and I think we talked about this a little bit, at the beginning of the year I was thinking that this whole 16-0, 19-0 thing was going to be an albatross around the Patriots' collective neck. That'll be something we're going to have to deal with, and it wasn't going to go away, and what a pain in the butt it's going to be to have to deal with it every week. And now I'm thinking, I'm thinking a little bit differently. I'm thinking actually now that the whole undefeated thing is going to be a savior. I really do. I think that it's going to allow this team, the guys down the hallway, the coaching staff, honestly, I think it is now crossed their minds that they have a chance to do something special. I don't think it's in the front of their frontal lobe. I don't think it's in the forefront of their minds. I don't think it's a big topic of conversation in the locker room. But now that they've got some breathing room over the nearest competition, division, conference, what's going to keep them focused? This is going to keep them focused. They have a chance to do something that only one of the team in the 88-year history of the National Football League has done. And a chance to do something that no other team has done since the advent of the 16-game regular season. And that is to go undefeated. Is it enough? Is it enough for you? Is it enough to keep you focused? I'd like your thoughts on that today. So send us an email, webradio@patriots.com. Webradio at Patriots.com. The telephone number 508-543-7482. So that's an email topic for the day. You know, is the undefeated streak, is the chance to go undefeated, unbeaten, is it enough to keep this team focused? Is it enough to keep them occupied? Is it enough to keep them on the straight and narrow and keep them out of the loss column and keep their eye on the prize, which has got to be a Super Bowl championship? But aren't we thinking bigger and better now? Is this enough to keep them focused now that other teams are starting to fall by the wayside? And I get, you know, two losses in a row, it doesn't mean the Colts are no good anymore. They're still a very good football team, but they did have a miserable game against San Diego. It was awful. It's a terrible game. I can't believe Manning threw six picks. Six? You and I could throw six picks. It brought him down to mere mortal status. I will certainly give you that. I was stunned by that, absolutely stunned. In the second hour of the program, coming up in approximately 30 minutes, we're going to do something a little bit different. We teased this a little last week. We had some fun with it last week, talked about it a little bit during last week's shows. And today, a little after 3 o'clock Eastern time, we're going to do, as I mentioned off the top of the program today, we're going to do something called Patriots Match Game 2007. If you're a fan of game shows, then this is definitely for you. And even if you're not a fan of game shows, you're going to have some fun with this. This is going to be cool. It's going to be pretty funny. We'll have some fun today. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Trust me. Now, first of all, let me preface this by saying that I am a huge fan of game shows. I actually sit and watch Game Show Network on my DirecTV at home from time to time because I like watching the classic shows. I'm a big fan of Match Game. I like watching Press Your Luck when that comes on, you know, the original Whammy show. I will watch the old Concentration shows and some of the other stuff that's on there. Price is Right, absolutely. Big fan of the old Price is Right.
How about Lingo?
Lingo is okay. Lingo's all right.
Chuck Woolery will do anything.
Yes, he will. He is actually proof that he'll do, you know, you got somebody out there who will do anything for money. I think another show that I really like is Password. Remember Password with Alan Ludden? That was a great game show. Vastly underrated game show. Made you think, right? Concentration was a good game show. Remember Hugh Downs? Way before he did 2020 on ABC, he was a game show host. Yeah, of course, Jeopardy is the game show. And here's another thought. If we have enough success with this today, Gary, I'm thinking. You know, so we can retain our focus here on Patriots Playbook.
Hell no.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yes. I'm thinking maybe we ought to have a version of Sports Jeopardy somewhere on down the line here. Maybe.
Go f*** yourselves.
Come on. You don't have to do any of the work. I'll do the work. I'll come up with the questions. I used to do this when I hosted radio shows all the time.
Yeah, you tried that for this game. It didn't work out that well.
Well, it's because you changed everything. You didn't like what I wrote.
It's the year 2007, and you wanted a question about the Galloping Gourmet.
Well, okay. So you modernized it a little bit. Big deal. So it shows how old I am. Big deal. Big deal. You know, I think people would have gotten the gist of it. At least I hope so. You know, but maybe if we have some fun with this, maybe we'll do it again before the season's out. How's that? Will that work? I don't think we have to do it, and we're not going to do it every day. We don't have to do it every week, but we can do it again for the end of the year. We can do some Sports Jeopardy.
If we have a bye in the playoffs.
If we have a – perfect. See? You know, that's why they pay you the big money. That's exactly why they
– yourselves.
It's why they pay Gary Grodecki the big, big bucks here at Gillette Stadium. That's a perfect thing to do. We'll play a version of Sports Jeopardy, if not Match Game, during the bye week going into the playoffs. How's that? All right. So this is how we're going to play. I'm going to give you the premise of it right now. So this way you can, number one, you want to stay tuned. Number two, you might want to play. First of all, we got to do this by phone, kids. All right. So starting at 3 o'clock, we'll take a break at the top of the hour. Then the phone lines will be open for this. They're open right now if you want to talk some Patriots. We'll do that. But you're going to have to call in, and we're going to ask you some questions. If you've never seen the Match Game, you're probably going to want to listen just so you can kind of get the gist of how we're going to play. If you've ever watched the Match Game on Game Show Network, or maybe you're like me and you used to fake being sick staying home from school back in the 1970s so you could stay home and you could watch Gene Rayburn host the Match Game, and then right after that, Bob Barker and The Price is Right. Hell of a way to kill 90 minutes in the morning when you're home sick with the flu. Hell of a way. Made the day just fly right by. you know, I could have my chicken soup, and I could watch Gene Rayburn, and I could watch, Bob Barker, and I could watch the good-looking models of The Price is Right. And then, of course, there was, you could watch a little, what the heck is the show with Monty Hall? Hello.
Let's make a deal.
Yeah, let's make a deal. Thank you. Then you could watch.
By the payment of big bucks.
Well, I'm saying, you know, somebody's got to have knowledge of all this stuff. Monty Hall, Let's Make a Deal. You remember Let's Make a Deal where the people would dress up, you know, goofily and have signs of the audience, and then they would pick either door number one or door number two, or do you want what's behind curtain number one or what's here in this little box? And, of course, in the little box, it'd be a stinking diamond, and what's behind curtain, it would be, you know, a cart of horse crap, you know, something stupid like that. But it was a great game show. But between Match Game and Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal, your morning was done if you were homesick from school in the 1970s, which I was a lot. So, anyway, if you've ever watched any of those shows, then you probably know where I'm going with here. I hope that you're a fan. And if so, what we'll do is we'll have you call in at the top of the hour. We're going to play Match Game. We have a series of questions that we're going to ask you. We'll ask you a couple of questions, and you have to come up with what you think is the best possible answer to fill in the blank. Okay? It's like, Dumb Dora is so dumb. How dumb is she? Dumb Dora is so dumb, she blanked whatever she, you know, whatever. And you fill in the blank. We have a guest panel, a star-studded guest panel, of celebrities here that will be giving their answers to that question. And if you match them with your answer, you don't get a chance to hear them first. You obviously have to give us your answer first. If you match them, you score a point. It's that simple. And then between a couple of callers today, whoever gets the most correct matches, we've got a copy of the Patriots Media Guide we're going to send you, I think. Is that what
autographed.
We decided on? Autographed copy of the Patriots Media Guide. Okay,
who's going to autograph it?
Christina? We said Christina Acra was going to autograph it? Yeah, absolutely. Christina Acra will give you her autograph. And for those of you who are not interested in Christina Acra's autograph, maybe you're of the female persuasion, we'll have Gary Gudecki autograph it.
No. You, the PFW guys, and Brian Lowe, and Christina.
Okay. We'll all autograph the media guide for you. How's that? Does that work? So we'll give you a chance to see the media guide and to be a part of that, and we'll send it off to you. So that's what you're going to play for today. I hope that you like that. I hope that will work for you. And if we have some fun with it and we have some success with it, then we'll bring it back again during the bye week before the playoffs. So at any rate, that's coming up here in approximately 20 minutes. In the meantime, we want to get to some emails because we got some emails that didn't get to over the course of the last couple of days and from PFW in Progress beforehand. Promise you no repeats here. So we'll get to some of these emails. And our question of the day has to do with being, you know, focused. How do we keep this team focused? How do you stay focused as a fan? Is it going to be hard to keep this team focused now that, you know, it looks for all practical reasons, you know, we're still a week away from clinching the division, believe it or not, but that's a fait accompli. And we're pretty much, we've got home field advantage throughout the AFC playoffs handed to us. So that means you're not only thinking one, you're thinking two games at home here at Gillette in January. Two games at home, potentially. You'll have a AFC semifinal after getting a bye during wild card weekend. And then if you win that, which you should, then you have the AFC championship. Good stuff. All right. Because today being Tuesday and because we've got some commitments to do a little college basketball later this week, which is going to preclude me from getting to the program.
Go f*** yourself.
Yeah, I know. Do you want me to tell everybody where I'm going? You're going to tell them anyway, right? Should I mention it? I'm going to Puerto Rico. I'm going to Puerto Rico for a college basketball tournament in Puerto Rico this week, which will keep me from this particular program tomorrow and Thursday.
I don't speak Spanish.
I'm very sorry about that. So because he normally joins us on Thursday and because we won't be able to talk to him on Thursday.
You, Baxter.
Russell S. Baxter from ESPN, NFL Research Coordinator, joins us here today on the Tuesday program. Hello, Russell.
Hello, John. Patriots didn't win last week, huh?
No. The streak, though, still lives, however.
We have not been able to say that all year.
No, they did not win. And I noticed that's what Chris Berman said right off the top. He said, hey, the Patriots didn't win. Well, they didn't play either. But
I'll semi go the other way though. You're going to Puerto Rico, huh?
Yeah, I've got there's the O'Reilly Auto Parts ESPNU Puerto Rico tip off tournament.
By the time you finish saying that, you'll be out of the country.
It's
pretty
so
much
ridiculous.
It is.
By the way, stop by the Westin Rio Mar.
Is that in San Juan?
It's in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember where we honeymooned there.
Really?
Yes, that's where I had my honeymoon. Nice little casino, a lot of nice restaurants, nice hammocks,
nice
beachside service.
All right, we'll definitely try to check that out. We're actually staying at a place called Condado Beach.
Oh, they don't have a Red Roof Inn? No.
Yeah, exactly. Believe you me, I'm a little surprised at that myself, because this place is...
budget cuts. Listen, we know about budget cuts.
Yeah, I know. So, but at least it's centrally located and all that kind of good stuff. So we got some college basketball to worry about this week. So in that regard, I'd made the point here just a couple of minutes ago, Russell, that honestly, with the Colts losing the way they did to San Diego this week, the Patriots, I think, for the most part, have all but been handed home field advantage now in the AFC. So I'm wondering really what it's going to take to keep this team focused for the next 7 weeks.
Well, that's easy. It's called Bill Belichick. And that's really why this team excels the way it does. That's why there's a talk of going undefeated at 9-0 instead of waiting until it's 12-0 or 13-0. I think it's less. I think people sometimes get so focused at looking at the Patriots' last seven games and the schedule and so on. And by the way, you know, as I've said many times, in the NFL, schedule to me means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It means something if you have three straight road games. In the Patriots' case, it certainly helps that you have three straight home games, depending on how buys are broken up and stuff like that. That's the tough type of the stuff on the schedule that means something to me. But more importantly, they have Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick is all about focus. That's why this franchise at one time won 21 consecutive games. And that's what I've also said before is this franchise is the one that can lay claim to having a shot at going 19-0 because they're the only team to ever win 19 consecutive games.
Right. On ESPN.com, Sal Palantonio today wrote a column that he thinks if the Patriots do go 19-0, that they would be the greatest team of all time in NFL history. What do you think about that?
Well, I'd have to see how they go 19-0. I mean, to be honest with you, you know, we've had teams go 18-1. You know, the Bears were 18-1 in 85. The 49ers were 18-1 in 1984. I think it depends on how it unfolds. That's all. I mean, it's first off, we're not even halfway to 19-0. So I know we like to jump the gun on certain things, but there's a jumping gun on claiming undefeated, and then there's jumping gun and already claiming a team can be greatest of all time. So, you know, while I'm sure it's a nice article that Sal wrote, but I would have to see how it unfolds, how they are dominant. I'm one of those people, and I did see the article. I was one of those people who was always big on not the 72 Dolphins, but the 89 49ers because of how dominant they were.
Mm-hmm.
A 14-2 team that lost only two games during the regular season, obviously, and then outscored its three playoff opponents by 100 points. Very dumb. It wasn't just that they beat Denver that year in the Super Bowl. They blew out the Rams. They blew out the Vikings. That, to me, was the best of the five 49ers teams. So I know we like to get ahead of ourselves in this business these days,
of course.
There's jumping, and then there's the triple jump. So let's hold off a little before we start reclaiming all time, because all time is 88 years.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
In the Super Bowl era, it's 42 years.
Right.
But I guess it made for nice reading.
Well, I've kind of glanced through it already, but I happen to notice it, and I'm like, wow, that's, you know, stepping out already. And I realize that, you know, you're right. We still have 7 weeks to go here, and we still have technically 10 more weeks to go or 10 more games to play before you would even arrive at that. And
right.
So we are kind of stepping out here.
I think it's, you know, when you start talking about greatest team of all time or great teams and stuff like that, I've always been a person that, even though I know they lost two games, the 73 Dolphins were a better football team, a more mature football team, than the 72 Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people talk about the 72 Dolphins as well. They squeaked by and they did this and they did that. Listen, that's what it usually takes to go 17-0. You can go 17-0 and have a point differential of 17.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't necessarily make you the greatest team of all time, and it's not all about points, I know as well, John. But football to me, more than any other sport, just personally, is the eye test. is watching how you dominate teams. When you're judge to me, when you're judging football players, it's not about statistics, and I make my living doing statistics.
Right.
But it's not a statistical game. It's watching. It's watching the physicality. It's watching the grace. It's watching the speed. It's a lot of different things, and that's why when you look and you watch and see great players, you can know within a couple years or two if they're going to be great players or Hall of Fame players and stuff like that. They just have. When you see Adrian Peterson, and I know the young man's hurt right now, but when you saw him run the way he ran the first half, the first eight games of the year, I mean, I haven't seen rookies like that that just pop your eyes open since Eric Dickerson and Earl Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
We're having that much of an immediate impact in this league and stuff. So football to me is the eye test, and we've only got one half eye open so far with the Patriots. But I will say this, they're off to a hell of a start.
Yeah, they are. And I guess, like I said, the whole premise of the conversation here is because now the focus is really going to be on the Patriots and their ability or inability to get that far because, quite frankly, last couple of weeks the Colts have taken a little bit of a step backward.
Well, you know, it's also funny is when I see articles like, you know, if they go 19-0 and declare them the greatest team of all time, what are you going to write when they go 19-0?
Yeah. Kind of like, well, they're here.
Well, I did that 2 months ago. Now what can I write?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? I guess you'll write, well, what can they do for an encore?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well,
we do have it. I know our business now is to jump the gun and stuff like that, but let's see what happens.
Well,
so.
Naturally, that's the next question. Well, now, what can they do next year? How long can they go undefeated next
right.
year?
You know, oh, my God, they've got salary cap issues.
Exactly.
Oh, my God, they're a mess.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, they need to draft a quarterback.
No,
oh
well, I can tell you what we'd be focusing on.
It takes all the fun out of it, doesn't it?
Well, here's the other thing I think that a lot of Patriots fans will start focusing on now because I think they'll feel kind of like, you know, everybody else, like, you know, all right, they're going to get there. Start focusing on how bad the 49ers are going to do because they own San Francisco's pick.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that's a shame, too, because that was a team that looked like it was making some strides last year. Remember, they swept Seattle Seahawks last year. They ended the season knocking the Denver Broncos out of the playoffs. They had a lot of really quality wins last year. Not to say they didn't lay their eggs against Kansas City and San Diego and some other games they lost last year, but you almost got a kind of a sense that here was a team that was maybe getting ready to take the next step. And you know what's really interesting about them? I'm going to point to another guy. Since you already mentioned the Colts losing and stuff,
mm-hmm.
North Turner.
Yeah.
Norv Turner is an excellent coordinator. He's an excellent teacher of quarterbacks. And I think him not being in San Francisco this year has hurt not only Alex Smith but Frank Gore as well. And yet, as a head coach, they just got done beating the Indianapolis Colts, and you keep on hearing more about the San Diego Chargers should be worried about how they feel after a win than the Indianapolis Colts should feel after losing that game and stuff,
mm-hmm.
because the execution right now in terms of the San Diego offense is virtually non-existent.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's a strange – and that's funny – there's Norv with a young quarterback in Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
But yet Norv is the head coach. He's not the coordinator or the quarterback's coach. And it just goes to show you that it just goes to show you the job, and I'll go back to the Patriots. The job that Bill Belichick does in that coaching staff, the turnover he's had, everybody knowing their roles, everybody knowing their jobs, the professionalism of that organization and so on, and getting things done. I mean, Bill Belichick was a great defensive coordinator, and he might even be a better head coach. How about think about that?
Yeah. Well, I think everybody also thinks that, you know, with all due respect to Norv and his abilities, that the Chargers were still very, very lucky to win that game.
Well, that's my point. Norv's taking heat for them winning that game.
Mm.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, yeah, because they expect more from him. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they're a 5-4 team who a week ago were giving up 378 yards rushing to the Vikings, 296, the league record to one individual. And this week they come back, and not for a kickoff return and a punt return. Their offense scored one touchdown against a kind of a banged-up Indianapolis team who, how weird of a game was that? Adam Vinatieri misses a chip shot at the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
the
I'm
best
sure
thing about – that's you know what, John? That's why I love talking to you about football. That's why I love football. Do you know what my favorite thing about football is?
Unpredictability?
The ball isn't round.
Isn't round. It bounces
great stuff,
a lot of different ways.
Yeah,
it's true.
It's great stuff. And that goes with kicking, throwing, passing. I mean,
sure.
Take your pick. It's fun.
Like the old adage that, you know, there's three things that can happen when you pass the ball and two are bad.
That's exactly. He got me all fired up. Let's go to Puerto Rico together.
Come on down. It seems like half the network's going to be there this next week anyway.
John, you know me well enough that I'm chained to my desk until February.
I understand that completely. How about let's just take an early look then at a couple of the games this week. Obviously, the Patriots have to play at Buffalo on the Sunday night game. It's the first of three straight Sunday night games now that the Patriots or night games that the Patriots are going to have to play, which, you know, doesn't surprise me in the least. I mean, the league and the networks, they want the team that's hot, and they want the team that's going for, you know, the history-making season. And I wonder if the glare of the spotlight might not be actually a good thing for the Patriots, because maybe it'll help them focus. Like, that's kind of what we've been talking about today, is their ability to focus.
Yeah, well, I to me, focus is a non-factor with them, to be honest with you. I mean, that's what they do best. That's the thing they excel at. They focus when other teams don't focus. They focus on football when the other team is focused on beating them.
Mm-hmm.
That's one, to me, one of my favorite quotes I ever heard out of a Super Bowl was Jim Turner after the Denver Broncos with my friend Tom Jackson didn't beat the Dallas Cowboys in Super Bowl XII.
Mm-hmm.
The Broncos, Jim Turner speaking of his team, we were out there thinking about winning and they were out there thinking about football. And the New England Patriots think about football. The other team that the Patriots play, in most instances, think about beating them.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's all said and done, no one's done it yet this year.
This is true. Do you believe? Hope you're all right.
Oh, I'm okay.
Okay.
I get very emotional when I talk about football. So.
I understand that. With Buffalo having won four in a row, do you give them any shot in this game?
Well, yeah. I give every team a shot at a game. It's the way they're going to execute. Now, I didn't think they played particularly well last week at Miami and so on, but I will say this about the Bills. They play with an awful lot of heart. You look at the way their season started. They lost those heartbreakers. They lost their players. I mean, their defense pretty rattled. The funny thing is they're one of the few teams this year to have a lead on the New England Patriots.
That's true.
The first time they played this year, they had a lead on them. Now, of course, that fell apart rather, very quickly. And if you remember that game, J.P. Losman was in there for a smidge. I believe that's an official term, by the way.
Smidge?
A smidge before Trent Edwards came in, and before you knew it was 38-7. But there are some more talented teams in this league, John, that should play with the veracity and the heart of the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
They become a great story. 0-3, winners of five of their last six, sporting a winning record. And, all I heard from a lot of – and we have a lot of – I know this might surprise you. We have quite a few Patriot fans at ESPN, shockingly enough.
Shocking.
Based on our location. When the Bills lose to Miami this week, then the Patriots can clinch the division. Well, guess what? Now the Bills are sitting at 5-4, and if there's a better story right now in the AFC, I haven't seen it. I mean, there's other teams that are probably playing better. There are teams that are a little more formidable and so on, but I don't think anybody expects the Buffalo Bills to be rolling out a four-game winning streak.
No.
Given the way things have started and the way some of their players have gone down.
No, absolutely not. I agree with that. And by the way, I think I'm looking at the standings again here, just kind of off the top of my head, and I mentioned maybe half an hour ago that, if the Bills had lost last week, then the Patriots with a win this week could have clinched the division in week 11. I said, well, now they'll have to wait a week. They'll have to actually wait a couple of more weeks.
Right.
They can't do it not only this week, they couldn't do it in week 12 either, just because there's a two-week swing there.
Right.
That makes sense?
I mean, but David, if the Bills had been 4-5 and the Patriots 9-0, they could have wrapped it up.
They could have wrapped it up this week. But they're 5-4. The Patriots are 9-0. So if the Patriots win, they're 10-0. The Bills are 5-5, and there's 6 weeks left. So you'd have to go another week.
Exactly.
Yeah. So.
Exactly. But I just think Dick Duran's done a great job up there, and so on. They had, they finished very respectable last year after a tough start. They were 2-5 and managed to, hold their own. Obviously the guys they lost via free agency. And then there was a lot, when they got off to the lousy start this year, there was a lot of, question marks. Well, are they playing Trent Edwards for money reasons and not winning reasons and so on? There's a lot of question marks that have gone on around Ralph Wilson and finances and, the stability of the organization and so on. But lo and behold, they're 5-4. And like I said, they've played with an awful lot of heart. Like I said, more talented teams. I think about some of the teams they've beaten in this four-game winning streak, like the Baltimore Ravens, like the Cincinnati Bengals, who a lot of people tab to be either a wild card or a division winner in their respective divisions, and they're struggling right now. And it's not necessarily they're struggling because of lack of talent. It seems like there's things missing in Cincinnati and things missing in Baltimore and so on. And yet there are players missing in Buffalo, and they just keep on chugging along.
Yes, they do. And the job that they're doing, you're right, is probably one of the great untold stories. I'm sure that at some point in time it will get told this year. And if at some point in time this season, if they continue to do what they're doing, and, hey, if they shock the world and they beat the Patriots this Sunday, well, then all the attention will be on them. Russell?
Oh, absolutely. But the bottom line is that, you know, the New England Patriots have won 9 games. The rest of the division has won 6.
Yep.
And the Bills have 5 of them.
Right, that's true.
So, you know, it has been a great story. I'm not saying they don't have a chance. Like I said, every team has a chance. Listen, we saw Dallas go up there on a Monday night.
Right.
And not some for late kicking heroics. The Bills would have beaten them. That's the only game they've lost during that stretch.
Yeah, they're really only a couple of plays away from being like 7-2.
Right. They've, you know, think about that two of their losses, and, you know, it goes both ways, but two of their losses are on last play of the game field goals. Denver and Dallas, both by 1 point, both in Buffalo and so on. And you think about Buffalo. The thing that's interesting in Buffalo right now, it seems like their offense is starting to make some strides. Now, last week they made the plays when they had to last week against a Miami defense that I think it took advantage of the fact that they were very well rested after the bye. I know going to England is unusual circumstances, but Miami was coming off a bye. And Miami's defense, for the most part this year, has been a huge disappointment. They're really starting to get a little long in the tooth. But, you know, leading up to that, Marshawn Lynch has been the best rookie back in this league, not named Adrian Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks ago against Cincinnati, ran for a touchdown, threw a touchdown pass, made some plays necessary down the stretch and so on. And, you know, it's too bad some of their components, probably most notably, I'm sure a guy you like, John, Paul Posluszny, the rookie linebacker out of Penn State,
right,
who got hurt early in the season.
He got hurt against us.
Yeah, so and gone for the year. And, again, some of their rookie class, it's been tough on them. But, again, Dick Turan's done a great job very quietly. That's how Dick Turan's style is. They don't do a lot of screaming and yelling up there. But, you know, I think they've made a fine bounce back after what looks like was going to be a dreadful season.
Agreed. Thank you for spending a little time with us today. And by the way, thank you for your participation in Match Game coming up in just a few minutes.
I wish Gene Rayburn was around to hear some of the things that came around.
Well, it wasn't.
And that was Match Game, by the way, Gene Rayburn.
There's no doubt about that. Now,
yes.
What was your favorite game show as a kid growing up? Was it
so
Match
easy.
Game?
That's one of the easiest questions you ever asked me.
Okay.
Concentration.
Yeah, see, now I mentioned that one, too. That may be dating us a little bit, but I was one of, you know.
Concentration when it was on NBC, John.
And
the host was
Hugh Downs.
Hugh Downs.
Yes.
Not the crappy syndicated version when they only gave you 25 pieces of the puzzle and they gave you so many hints that they ruined it.
Exactly.
The whole fun of the show
was figuring out the puzzle.
I wasn't going to win the car or the lamp. I wanted to guess the puzzle.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
30 pieces and no clues.
And we used to try to, I used to fake being sick so I could stay home and watch sometimes.
That's what NBC gets for cheating on all those quiz shows.
That's right. That's right. Russell, I appreciate your willingness to participate today. Thank you. And we'll do it again next week, shall we, if not before?
Travel safe and have a Diet Coke with rum on me.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, John.
You got it. Russell S. Baxter, who is the NFL research coordinator for ESPN, visiting with us here on Tuesday. All right, let's do this then. Let's take a break so we can make sure we have all of our faculties together, because coming up will be Patriots Match Game 2007. If you want to be a contestant and a chance to win the prize, you need to pick up the phone and call 508-543-7482. And again, it's 508-543-7482. Pick up the phone. Do it now. Match Game's coming up.
He's been a 3-time champion, 2-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
3 touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Yeah, let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Dumoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
This is Patriots Playbook.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the seven route.
Patriots Playbook, breaking down last Sunday's game.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
Next Sunday's game.
Want to go odd. 5.
Patriots Playbook.
51 mirror.
And the rest of the 2007 NFL season.
Sack Gus Combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
And some of the fun stuff in between.
Even. 51 grapes. Even. 51 grapes.
And now... he's John Rook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Hour number two of Patriots Playbook here on Patriots.com Radio. John Rook joined in studio by Brian Lowe from Patriots Today. And where is everybody? We're giving away a media guide here. Christine has autographed it.
A media guide?
Well, yeah, we're trying to play match game, but nobody wants to pick up the phone and call. Are we preaching to nothingness out there in the vast expansiveness of the internet?
Well, this is on the internet?
Yeah.
The whole world
wide. The whole world wide. And nobody wants to pick up the phone and call and play the game.
I find that hard to believe.
I'm stunned. I'm absolutely stunned. 508-543-7482. The very first caller.
They just didn't know the number, John.
Can be on the show. I've given it like six times already.
Oh, okay.
The very first caller can be a contestant and has a chance to win.
Don't want to go nuts on showing that we don't have any callers, do we?
Well,
we don't want to harp on this, do we?
No, the fact is that it's a fact of life.
Where's Craig?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Where the hell's Craig?
Let's just call out. Let's just throw out names. Where's Bill? Where's Joe?
Craig, Bill.
Well, where's Larry?
We also have, who's the guy who calls from Tampa all the time?
Mike in Tampa.
Mike in Tampa.
Mike in Tampa.
Yeah, we've had a caller from Houston that's been a semi-regular as well. Had one from Brownsville, Texas that was a caller earlier this season. You know, so, I mean, a ton of them.
And we accept first-time callers as well, right? Well,
absolutely first-time callers. Are you kidding me?
Of course.
Stunning.
It's a bye week. People need to get their
Well, that's what I was saying. And that was part of my conversation earlier in the program was that, you know, I realized that because it's a bye week, there's, you know, honestly, on Sunday, I watched a little football. I actually tried to stay away from some of it on purpose.
See, on the other hand, I took full advantage of a day.
So you could actually watch other games.
I was at a place where they had all the TVs going with a few friends. It was fantastic.
Well,
now,
okay, good.
I didn't quite watch a ton of last night's game, which was a big one for the Patriots.
Well, because San Francisco lost.
That is one sorry team.
Yeah,
and I'll tell
bad.
You what, they play St. Louis this week. I think St. Louis is better.
St. Louis is going to beat
them. I think they're going to end up with more wins at the end of the year.
St. Louis, I don't think, will end up but 2-14. I mean, San Francisco will be 2-14.
If St. Louis beats San Francisco this week, they both have two wins.
That's exactly correct.
Yeah.
Now it's time for everybody's favorite game show, Pat's Match Game 07. Pat's Match Game 07 featuring our celebrity, I guess, panel.
Hi, I'm Butch Stearns from Fox 25.
Hi, I'm Brian Lowe. Make sure you tell your friends you heard it on Patriots Today.
Hi, this is Tony Maserati from the Boston Herald.
Hi, I'm Brad Feldman, the voice of the New England Revolution.
Hi, this is Russell Baxter, ESPN NFL Research Coordinator.
Hi, I'm Christina Acra from Patriots Today.
Now the host of Pat's Match Game 2007. Seven, John Rook.
Thank you very much. Hi, stars. How are we doing today? I hope everybody's doing great today.
Hey,
got a little Patriots Match Game 07 here today. If you've been a fan at all of the Match Game, whether you watched it when you were a kid on CBS television, or maybe you watched the later version on NBC, or maybe, just maybe, you actually watched one of the old reruns of the old Match Game 73 or 74 or whatever it was on the Game Show Network, well, this show is for you. We've got our panel. You've heard from them. We're going to ask you some questions. You need to match the stars. If you match the stars, you win. It's that simple. Okay. Now that we've got the show explained, Jane is in Virginia. Jane, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Thanks for taking the time to call. We appreciate that today. You ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Okay, perfect. All right. I've got a couple of questions for you. The idea for you is to fill in the blank and answer the question the best way you think our panel of stars will answer it, okay? You follow that, right?
Yes.
By the way, have you ever seen Match Game? Do you know it? Have you ever watched it?
Yes, a long time ago.
Long time ago. Okay.
Back when I stayed home from school sick.
See? Just like me. Like me. Yeah, I know. Just like me. Sick in the head, too. All right. Very good. Here we go. All right. The first question then for you, Jane, is the Food Network is looking for ratings going up against Monday Night Football. They're going to call the show Monday Night Blank Ball. All right. Think about it for a second. Now, again, our panel is Butch Stearns from Channel 25, Fox 25 here in Boston, Brian Lowe from Patriots Today, Tony Maserati from the Boston Herald, Brad Feldman from The Revolution, Russell Baxter from ESPN, and Christina Acra from Patriots Today. Now, your goal here is to try to answer the question the way you think they would answer the question.
Okay.
You follow me? Knows us well.
Yeah, she absolutely.
She knows us well.
Absolutely. The question again is, Food Network is looking for ratings going up against Monday Night Football. They're going to call the show Monday Night Blank Ball. All right, do you think you have something in mind, Jane?
Yes.
Okay. Are you ready to give it a go here? All right.
Yes.
All right, here's the question one more time, and you fill in the blank. Food Network is looking for ratings going up against Monday Night Football. They're going to call the show Monday Night what ball?
Cheese.
Monday Night Keys?
Cheese ball.
Cheese ball. Cheese ball for Jane. Jane says cheese. That's an excellent answer, by the way. An excellent answer. Studio audience, what do you think about that one? I was waiting for the applause sign to go on. That's all. That's all. Let's see. There we go. All right. This is better late than never, right, Jane?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. All right. All right. Our panels again. Got to answer the questions. So, Jane says Monday Night Cheese Ball. Butch Stearns from Fox 25. What do you say, Butch?
Monday Night Matzo Balls.
Monday Night Matzo Balls. Okay. Well, that didn't match, but it was a good answer nevertheless. Brian Lowe from Patriots Today. B-Lo, what do you say?
Monday night matzo ball.
Matzo ball again. All right, we got another matzo there. Jane, so far we're 0 for 2. Tony Maserati from the Boston Herald. Tony, what do you say?
Cheese ball.
Ah!
Yay!
A winner. How about that? We have a match. All right, Monday night cheese ball. Brad Feldman is the voice of the New England Revolution. Food Network looking for ratings going up against Monday Night Football. They're going to call the show Monday Night What Ball?
Fish.
That was really bad.
Yeah.
Fish ball. Okay. And Russell Baxter from ESPN. Monday Night What Ball?
Monday Night Meatball.
Monday Night Meatball. That's actually a pretty good answer. What do you think, Jane? That's not bad,
that's
huh? Yeah, that's a good one. And then finally, last but certainly not least, Christina Acra from Patriots Today here on Patriots.com. Christina, Monday night what ball?
Monday night meatballs.
Monday night meatballs. Okay. Well, you matched one. That's pretty good, Jane.
Well, I don't think so, but okay.
Well, you know, let's see. You had two matzos, you had two meatballs, you had a cheese ball and a fish ball. Somebody tell Feldman to get his head out of the you-know-what. All right, I'm going to give you another shot here. How's that?
Okay.
You ready to go? All right, here comes the next question. You've got one match. Let's see if we can get one more for you, at least. All right, here's the next one. Fred Kirsch, he's our editor-in-chief of Patriots Football Weekly and runs things here on Patriots.com. At least we let him think he does anyway. Fred Kirsch said his parents didn't like him as a kid. Instead of using diapers, they used blank. All right, think about that for a second. Fred Kirsch, of course, who hosts PFW in Progress right here on Patriots.com radio. He's the editor of Patriots Football Weekly and the general man about town. Yeah, exactly. Here on Patriots.com, Fred Kirsch said his parents didn't like him as a kid. Instead of using diapers, they used blank. What do you think, Jane? Got an answer?
Flypaper.
Flypaper. That's actually not... That's not flypaper, sandpaper, which one? Because they're both
sandpaper's better.
All right, I tell you what, I'm going to be generous. I'm going to give
I
you sandpaper.
I live in the South. You have to realize we.
Well, I'm from the South too, so you know, I think I can give you sandpaper.
Okay.
Flypaper is pretty close anyway. I realize they're both rough. One stickier than the other, though, right?
This is true.
All right, I'm going to give you sandpaper if that's what you want.
Okay.
All right, sandpaper. All right, so Jane says sandpaper. Again, our panel, Butch Stearns from Fox 25. Fred Kirsch said his parents didn't like him as a kid. Instead of using diapers, they used what?
Aluminum foil.
Oh, wow. Way to go, Butch. Thank you. Aluminum foil.
He has children.
That's right. B-Lo from Patriots Today. What do you say, B-Lo?
Gift wrap.
Gift wrap. Ah, see? I guess the feeling pretty much kind of in the spirit of things, huh? Tony Maz from the Boston Herald. Tony.
Sandpaper.
Yay!
Woohoo! Studio audience approves. All right,
Man,
so we have a match. We have a match. Fred Kirsch said his parents didn't like him as a kid. Instead of using diapers, they used, Tony said, sandpaper. Jane from Virginia said sandpaper. Brad Feldman from the Revolution. What do you say?
Sandpaper.
Unbelievable. That's two matches. You have three matches total, Jane. You're doing well.
Oh.
All right, Russell Baxter from ESPN. Russell, what is your answer?
Duct tape.
Duct tape. Well, that's actually not bad, huh?
Pretty bad.
Duct tape. Can you imagine that? Duct tape on the hindquarters? I don't know that I can do.
Yeah.
All right, and then we have Christina Acker from Patriots Today. Fred Kirsch said his parents didn't like him as a kid. Instead of using diapers, they used...
Cotton balls.
Cotton balls.
I'm not sure
I understand that one, but thanks for playing, Christine. Appreciate that. Now you understand some of the pressure these people are under, right?
Yeah,
all right,
I do.
Stay on the line, Jane. You've got three matches. I think you're going to be in the running, all right? We're going to get your information from you. Thanks for playing, Jane.
Thank you.
All right, so there you go. Jane from Virginia matched three with cheese for Monday Night Cheese Ball and Fred Kirsch. Instead of diapers, his parents used sandpaper.
Yep.
You like that? I like that.
Okay.
I like that.
All right. So we got three for Jane. That's her score of three. Now.
Not bad.
Once we get her.
So she's in the money.
She's definitely. Well, she's definitely in the running for something. That's very, very, very true. But we've got two other questions we need to ask, which means we also have somebody else that we need to get on the phone at this point in time. See, the problem here is that while I wish that we were a huge network organization, we're not. We're kind of low budget here.
Yeah.
So there's only one incoming line.
That's why I'm
we don't
guest.
Have a switchboard, which is why, of course, you're here.
Right.
Because
why I'm the guest, yeah.
Because you'll do it for the free pizza that we bring into the studio.
Right. I mean, my contract demands, that's all it says. Free food.
Free pizza. We got the free food. All right. Yeah. So now that Jane is taken care of, all right, now you can pick up the phone and you can call, and we'll take the
we
first
the
caller.
We had the guinea pig. We had someone to test it out. Now, don't be afraid.
No. Well, because now you know how the show
now
goes.
Now you know how it works.
So you think you can make better answers and wittier and cleverer answers than what Jane had and what our panel
You're
had.
You're a little apprehensive. You know we don't bite. You know how it goes.
That's right. 508-543-7482. Again, 508-543-7482. There you go. And as soon as we get somebody on the line, boom, you'll be the contestant. You'll be contestant number two, and you'll have a chance to beat Jane's three correct answers
Won't
of
be
her
easy.
Two questions.
Won't
no,
be
I've got
easy.
Two more questions answering. We'll give you as many opportunities as Jane got, and if you can top the three, you'll win the autographed Patriots Media Guide. It's that simple. That's how we play it.
We're not looking to make it complicated.
No.
That's the way it goes, right?
This is what we're supposed to do. I now have a newer appreciation, at least, for what Gene Rayburn had to go through in terms of vamping for time until we made sure the contestant was ready. Although, he never had to work with telephones. He always had two contestants sitting right there.
That's right.
And you remember the little,
I don't remember.
Desk? Oh, come on. Well, that's true. You're too young to remember that.
But I'm somewhat familiar with what you're talking about.
Well, it was a stage, and they set at a desk, the two contestants, and it would turn around. So when it would turn around backwards, they would reveal a game in front, but in the back, it would allow the new contestant to come on board.
If I turn on the game show network, am I?
You would certainly see it.
Good.
Yes, you would certainly see it. All right, our contestant is Doug in Springfield.
Now it's time for everybody's favorite game show, Pat's Match Game 07. Pat's Match Game 07, featuring our celebrity, I guess, panel.
Hi, I'm Butch Stearns from Fox 25.
Hi, I'm Brian Lowe. Make sure you tell your friends you heard it on Patriots Today.
Hi, this is Tony Maserati from the Boston Herald.
Hi, I'm Brad Feldman, the voice of the New England Revolution.
Hi, this is Russell Baxter, ESPN NFL Research Coordinator.
Hi, I'm Christina Acra from Patriots Today.
Now the host of Pat's Match Game 2007, John Rose.
Thank you, Don Pardo. Thank you once again. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you to our studio audience. Thank you to our panel. Doug is in Springfield. Hello, Doug.
Hey, man, what's up?
Springfield, which state?
Massachusetts.
All right. Well, we're going to give a shout-out to Springfield, Illinois, or Springfield, wherever the hell
Missouri,
it was.
Missouri.
Yeah, Missouri, whatever.
Them, right?
Yeah, Springfield, Mass.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you did that. Now, Doug, you've heard of the Match Game. You've watched Match Game before. You heard our game, how we play it.
Yeah, I love the game.
All right, perfect. All right, so you know how we do this. All right, again, our panel, Butch Stearns from Channel 25, B-Lo from Patriots Today, Tony Maz from the Herald, Brad Feldman from the Rebs, Russell Baxter from ESPN, and Christina Acra from Patriots Today. And here is your question, Doug. All right, you ready to go?
Ready.
The PFW guys are always begging for food. They even made up T-shirts. On the front it says, I eat it. On the back it says, blank pie. You, of course, remember earlier this year we had the T-shirts made by Dalis Thomas in the Patriots locker room. And he had I Eat It on the front, and they had something similar on the back. I'm not going to give you that one simply because it could be your answer. But there was something that the Patriots as a team did earlier this season. So on the front it says I Eat It. On the back it says blank pie. What do you think, Doug?
Can't think of anything. I can't think of anything.
Okay, that's fine. See, that's what the T-shirt said that the Patriots team players had made in the locker room earlier this season. I Eat It on the front, Humble Pie on the back, which got a big chuckle from Bill Belichick and some others, and that's part of their, well, that's okay. That's part of what, this is all about here. All right, so you say Humble Pie. All right, let's check in with Butch Stearns from Fox 25. Butch, what do you say?
Paul Perillo Humble Pie.
There you go. There you go. You got one. All right. Although we added a little Paul Perillo to it, but Humble Pie, that's a match. There we go. B-Lo, what do you say?
Boston Cream.
Boston Cream Pie.
Love Boston cream pie.
I think what we were looking for here was more of an actual food element, but that's okay. That's okay. Tony Maserati for the Boston Herald. What kind of pie?
Moon pie.
Moon pie. One of my all-time favorites. Of course, that's dating me as well, back when I was a little kid eating moon pies, and probably the part of the country that I'm originally from. Brad Feldman of the Revolutions, what kind of pie?
Meat.
Meat pie. I don't can't remember the last time I had a meat pie. Oh, I guess I could, well, a shepherd's pie. That would,
yeah,
be, that
there
would be a possibility there. That's got meat in it, right? PFW guys always begging for food. They even made up T-shirts. On the front it says, I eat it. On the back it says, Russell Baxter, what does it say?
Pizza pie.
Pizza pie. I think that would have been a good one, too. And then, last but certainly not least, Christina Acra. The lovely Christina Acra.
Cherry pie?
Today. Oh! Cherry pie.
How you doing?
Christina with the cherry remark. Very nice, Christina. Thank you. All right, Doug, you got one, okay? Now, Jane in Virginia answered three correct this first round, so you've got one more to go. Normally in the match game, if you ever remember the show, that, you know, the contestants got to pick either question A or B. We kind of pre-selected the questions for you, but that's okay. You'll like this one anyway. You need two to stay in the game. Three will win for you, okay?
And we don't have a tiebreaker.
Yeah, so, you know, well, we'll give you both something if you tie here. So you got to get two correct answers this round to stay in the match. All right, here we go. Coach Belichick is a huge Star Wars fan. Broke out his favorite Halloween costume for the party this year. I bet you didn't know that. Matt Light was Chewbacca. Vince Wilfork was Jabba the Hutt. Tom Brady was Luke Skywalker. Doug Flutie went as Yoda. Bill had them all beat when he showed up as blank Belichick.
Who was it that had them all beat?
Bill Belichick. He had them all beat when he showed up as blank Belichick. I'm gonna repeat the question for you, okay? Coach Belichick is a huge Star Wars fan. He broke out his favorite Halloween costume for the party this year. Matt Light, Chewbacca. Vince Wilfork was Jabba the Hutt. Brady was Luke Skywalker. Flutie went as Yoda. But Coach had them all beat when he showed up as blank Belichick.
Well, that's easy. I'm going to go with Darth Belichick.
Darth Belichick. All right, that's an excellent answer. Darth Belichick. All right, let's see how many you match, if, of course, you do match any at all. Butch Stearns from Fox 25. What do you say, Butch?
Hans Belichick.
Probably along the lines of, yeah, I agree. Han Solo, yeah, in Star Wars. Han Belichick. All right, so that didn't match. You still need two to tie.
Idiot.
B-Lo, what do you say? What Belichick?
Bill showed up as Darth Belichick.
Darth Belichick! Hey, there you go.
I'm happy to help, buddy.
Nice.
All right, so there's two now. You need one more to tie. Tony Maserati for the Boston Herald. Tony?
Princess Leia.
Oh. That's a winner right there.
Princess Leia Belichick. I'm sure that Bill will appreciate that, and probably Bill will say something to him about that at the next news conference. Brad Feldman from the New England Revolution, the MLS Cup-bound Revolution this week. Brad?
Princess Leia.
See, there's another Princess Leia. Unbelievable. Can you believe that? All right, you still need one to tie. You got two more panelists that we need to discover.
Okay.
Russell Baxter.
Come on, Bax.
I'm going to go Han Belichick.
Han Belichick, just like Butch Stearns and Han Solo. He said Hans Belichick. All right, you need one more to tie. It's all up to the lovely Christina Acra from Patriots Today. If she can come up with Darth Belichick, you tie Jane, and you'll both win. I don't know if I can stand the pressure, Doug. I don't know if I can stand it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, Christina, what do you say?
Stormtrooper Belichick.
Stormtrooper Belichick. Oh, goodness gracious.
Acra.
Doug, you played the game magnificently.
Thanks. I think the Colts, the referees in the Colts-Pats game must have been on that one.
Very good. Yeah, well said. Well said. Doug, thanks for taking the time of calling in and playing with us. We appreciate your listening to us here on Patriots.com.
Love your show.
Thanks.
All right, so there you go. Kids!
Well, that'll wrap up today's Pats Match Game 07. Tune in next time for another edition of Pats Match Game 07. Pats Match Game is a production of Kraft Sports, Patriots Football Network Productions, All Rights Reserved, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Christina Acra sounds hot. Go Pats!
Thank you very much.
The fine print.
Did you have as much fun listening to that? Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. Jane, if you are still listening, okay, we need you to call Gary back, or you can at least email your last name. Thank you. That's Gary just sending me a note on the other side of the glass. So, Jane, if you're listening, since you won and you get our autographed Patriots media guide here, we need you to call back 508-543-7482 or just send us an email, webradio@patriots.com.
And if you email, make sure you include your address so I know it's you.
Okay, exactly. So we just got to verify things here. And
great point, Gary. Great point.
Exactly. All right, so if you'll do that for us, Jane, then we can get this in the mail to you and you win. So that's our game show.
That's fantastic.
What'd you think?
That's fantastic. Well, I loved it. I was part of it.
Fun.
And, well.
Thank you, by the way, for lending us your talents.
Was it Doug?
Yes.
I assisted Doug in his hard-fought second-place finish.
Yeah, he ended up a little bit short there. Didn't
cherry cotton balls.
Cotton balls, cherry pie. What is Christina thinking?
What? Listen. I don't know. I'm not one to talk. I don't know.
I understand.
Fun game. We should do that.
You know, we had to do. It's a bye week.
It's a bye week.
We had to come up with something different to do. We want to have a little fun, and we realize that it's not the perfect scenario because I've done match game on local radio stations. I've done it on ESPN radio. We've played match game. And, of course, when you have a radio station set up, you can take multiple callers and you get caller pitted against caller.
Right.
And you usually have live in-studio participants stuff. And so we kind of make do with it. But I thought we made chicken salad, chicken feathers.
I think that was great.
It's a whole lot of work for 20 minutes.
It was a lot of work, wasn't it? Gary, thank you for all that good
Gary
work.
Gary running around
that's good
getting
stuff.
All the answers.
But like Gary said, you know what? We've got another potential bye week on the horizon.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Do we have a potential two?
You never know.
We don't want to go there.
We never know. But
we are not doing one if we go to the Super Bowl.
Okay. No, Gary didn't want to do that. but at the very least, we think another bye week coming on because of the potential bye in the playoffs.
It looks likely.
Right. So if that is the case, and we were talking about that in the opening hour of the program, Brian, that I think the Patriots pretty much had that handed to them now with the Colts losing at San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you have to look as much at the Colts as you do the Steelers,
correct,
who right now, I don't know what all the tiebreakers look like, but they're both 7-2. Obviously,
right,
the Patriots play the Steelers coming up in a couple of weeks, but it's no longer Patriots, Colts, and everybody else. The Steelers have to be taken seriously, not just as a 7-2 team, but as a potential second seed and also having a bye like the Patriots. So,
right,
a lot at play. You know, not that the Steelers had been overlooked to this point in the season, but I think it had pretty much been roundly considered Patriots, Colts, and then everybody else.
Right. Well, if the playoffs, and I mentioned this in the opening hour as well, if the playoffs were to start this weekend, the Colts would be the 3 seed, not the 2.
Okay, so I didn't know what
because there's a better AFC record
right now that the
Steelers have over the Colts.
Because the Steelers, one of their two losses was to Arizona in the NFC, so they have
a better conference record.
So right now, the Colts, believe it or not, would have to play on wild card weekend.
That's
which,
correct.
You know, leading up to Patriots-Colts 2 weeks ago, or a week and a half ago, it was, all right, you know, one of these teams is not going to be undefeated when the day is over, but everyone, myself included, figured.
It's kind of like, well, we're both going to get the byes.
Right. Whoever loses would still
have not a done deal. There's still 7 weeks still to play, so
right,
there's a lot of football to be played, but it's not a done deal. At any rate, we'll see about playing either another match game or maybe doing, I suggested, Sports Jeopardy.
In our next bye week before
the opening round of the playoffs for the Pats. So
whichever one's easier to produce.
We can only take one call at a time. It won't be that much of a contest.
That's true. You need three. Yeah.
Well, then maybe, you know what we do? Maybe we try to do it via email. We can think about it right here, and people can email in their answers. And, hey, you know, it tells the time that you email it. Right? So, you know, we'll just, you know, there you go.
Does it have to the second or just the minute?
No, it has just to the minute.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about it.
We'll figure it out.
We got seven weeks to figure it out here, so that's exactly what we're going to do. But we'll have some fun with it, and we'll give away another media guide or two, or we'll come up with something clever that
we'll give up a signed postseason media guide that our friends up in media relations.
See?
They'll be hard at work putting it together
That's exactly right. See, and you'll be privy to something that very few people will actually probably take a look at this year.
Yeah.
Well, you think about it. So
that's true.
So let's get some. You want to do some emails here?
Love emails.
There's some people that have taken the chance to send emails.
Yeah.
And the question of the day, and I kind of asked about this in the opening hour. I'm somewhat concerned in light of the fact that the Colts did lose on Sunday. I personally am a little concerned about what's going to keep this team focused. Now Russell Baxter, who joined us, he said, I don't think focus is ever a problem when it comes to a Bill Belichick coach team. However, I think we all realize that, you know what? Something burning in here.
You
smell that?
Yeah, I do. We're not on fire, Gary, are we? This is good
radio. Am I on fire?
This is good radio, unless we do burn down. I did smell something. It's not the pizza. This has been around for a while.
I'm dead serious. There's definitely something burning. You need to come in here and smell this.
While we continue to talk about the Patriots.
Oh, we continue to talk about that. Do you smell that?
There's something. Right, Gary? There's something. The coffee brewing?
No, I don't think so. Stand over here.
Pull your finger.
No, you don't have to pull my finger.
What college football news?
Well, Lloyd Carr may retire after Ohio State. That probably benefits him.
After Ohio State is Sunday, is it not?
That was weird. Maybe it just came out of the vent. It's possible.
Maybe it's behind me.
They've been doing a lot of construction around here. So,
yeah.
All right. Anyway,
you had a thought.
Sorry. What was my thought?
Your potential to burn down, John, for some reason, led you stray from your thought. But what was your thought? Where were you going?
That's pretty bad.
It was something about the Colts. It was something about focus.
That's
how
it.
Do they stay focused?
Yeah, focus. That's focus. What it was.
Stay focused,
maybe
John.
I should stay focused.
You got to stay focused.
There
don't worry
again.
About
it. There it goes again. Damn, what is that? Anyway,
focus.
Okay, focus.
I'll let you know if you're about to burn down.
Yeah, just please let me know if you see flame.
Yeah.
Or smoke. All right, then you can kind of tell me. The question was whether or not, because of what happened with the Colts against San Diego, I was concerned. The Patriots basically have home field advantage handed to them now. In the AFC. So what is there going to be, what's out there to keep this team focused? Is the chance to create history and go 16-0/19-0 enough to keep this team focused?
I think that's part of it. I also think that I think they will stay focused, but I think that in some of their games, you know, I'm not saying that they want to go in with this mentality, but in some of their games, specifically some of these division games they have coming up, they are not going to need to even be 100% focused to win the game. They'll have to show up and they win the game. But that being said, I think you got a couple of games. Pittsburgh, I think the focus will be there because, let's face it, let's be honest, technically things won't be wrapped up by that point.
Right.
And by wrapped up, I mean the Patriots will have won the division most likely by then, but theoretically, there might be the number one seed still in the mix with Pittsburgh. Theoretically, technically, they may not have that wrapped up. I think Baltimore at night, I think they'll get fired up for that game because it's Baltimore at night. I think Dalis Thomas will be fired up. I think different guys will be fired up for that game, and I think that'll be fine. I think the Giants game, I think they'll be fired up too because that could be the one that gives them 16-0. And I think they just have to show up for the division game. But I do think they're going to stay focused. Because I think they do care about that 16-0. I do.
All right, we got an email from Pat T. who says, since it's the bye week and we're not talking about much, I got an interesting question that I've been curious about. I'm going to just throw it out there. Last week in the San Diego-Minnesota game, Cromartie or whatever caught a long missed field goal, returned it for six. Yes, the 109-yarder. We've seen Hester stand back there and others in different games do it also. Now, here's a thought. Would it be legal for a defender to jump up and catch or even knock down the football just as it were to barely make it over the crossbar? Would it count as a blocked field goal or would it be like a goaltending call in basketball? That is legal. You may block the kick to keep it from going over the crossbar if someone could leap up at the crossbar and knock it away.
Which is possible.
That is a legal thing to do.
Never knew that, but physically I think that's possible. We've seen players
try
slam dunk a ball over the crossbar after
touchdown.
Yeah, but
I mean the ball would really have to just barely skirt.
Just barely.
And maybe even skim the crossbar to get over for somebody to have a shot at doing that.
And you have to time it correctly. There's a lot of factors. That's hard to, you know, and let's face it. Teams don't always have a player back there, right?
No.
Smart ones these days.
Well,
start
if it's
to,
a
right?
long attempt, if it's a long attempt, and you have some doubt as to the field conditions, or if the wind's in their face, or if you know something about the individual, thinking that he's going to come up a little short, the smart teams, the teams that do their homework, probably have a person back there in an effort to return it, thinking that, you know, everybody's going to be locked up at the line of scrimmage. At the very least, we're going to get it out to the 20-25 yard line. Although, why you'd want to do that? Since the ball usually, if it's a miss, goes back to the line of scrimmage, it's a risky proposition.
Yeah. It is risky, and all so many factors have to be in play and converge at the same time for that to happen. But I hadn't thought about that. It's kind of a quirky
it's
thing
a legal
anyways.
Play. It's a legal play.
The idea of returning a missed field goal is a kind of a quirky rule or whatever you want to call it in the NFL, but never thought of it in those terms. That's an interesting one.
Right. Pat also says, as for the Pats using the info that they stole from years ago, you got to think about all the different coaches and defensive coordinators that have come in and out of teams over those years. Plus, like Bill Parcells said, if you can catch the signals of the DCs, those coaches are idiots. I don't see how the same coach could use the same signals over that amount of time, especially with the players rotating around the league as well, who may identify those calls from being there previously. I agree with Parcells. That's just bad coaching. Well, that's absolutely 110% correct. I mean, you know, what they did it for, at least so we're told anyway, is in order to try to identify tendencies in certain situations based on the plays they run. You're right. The calls and the signals are going to change from week to week, and if they don't, it's bad coaching.
Right.
In fact, it's horrid coaching.
Right.
So you want to make it tough for people, but you're right. You can't depend on the same call being the same call from week to week. That's just not going to happen.
Right.
So, all right. Ben from Boxborough says, it's been a while since I've listened, but since my iPod crapped out on me a few weeks ago. Well, you can listen online, Ben. Come on. I mean, we're here 12 to 6 every day.
2-3 years ago when you probably didn't have an iPod. I'm sure you're still listening, right? You found a way?
Exactly. And then we're recorded, and we're here from 6 to midnight every day, Monday through Friday. So what's your excuse? Anyway, he says, I'd like to talk about the upcoming draft. It looks like the Patriots will at least be picking in the top 10.
Is it upcoming yet?
Yeah.
Is it considered upcoming yet?
April.
Right.
It should be. I think we got to wait till we actually get to 2008.
Listen, are the Dolphins concerning themselves right now with the upcoming draft?
They're on the clock.
Dolphins. Are the Rams? Yes. But are we? I don't know.
Well,
we're almost on the clock.
Yeah, maybe. It says, it looks like the Patriots will at least be picking in the top 10 with the 49ers top pick in hand and possibly even in the top 2 or 3.
I honestly think it'll end up being top 2 or 3.
I do, too. What are some players we can look forward to hearing about frequently during the offseason? I know it's early. I'd just like to some names to keep my eye on as the season goes.
I honestly don't know. Well, I know Glenn Dorsey. I know some of the quarterbacks. I don't.
Here's the one that I think that, you know, I think the Patriots will obviously draft for need. I think that definitely Darren McFadden at Arkansas is a name that you're going to want to keep an eye on because I think he could be one of the top 4 or 5 guys to go, and the Patriots could be in position, especially if they determine that a guy like Lawrence Maroney is not going to be the durable kind of back that they hoped he would be.
Yeah.
I think that Darren McFadden could be a name that you'll hear. However, and we briefly touched on this last week during our first bye week here, Russell Baxter seems to think the Patriots would make sense if they looked at linebackers.
Yeah.
And I think the kid from Ohio State.
Yeah, is that Laurinaitis?
Yeah, Laurinaitis. Yeah. Jim Laurinaitis could be a real possibility there.
I am really excited.
Is that his name, Jim?
Not sure. I'm really excited about the possible topics of conversation from February to April in this regard. If the Patriots have a top 5 pick, who they might take, what position, trade possibilities. But I'm not in position to start talking about who they might take. I don't know. And as far as running back, I don't see them taking a running back in the first round 2 out of 3 years.
No, but again, you know, maybe if they determine, you know, first of all, that Sammy Morris, you know, if depending on his injury and whether or not, you know, they think he, you know, if the right combination of those two guys, I'm just saying that it could be discussed. I agree with you. I don't think they'll go that route. But frankly, if you can get a guy that could be something special, and I think McFadden could be in the pros.
Well, that's what they'd have to consider. I just think that at running back, trust me, that's a position of need. I mean, I think that they're going to need depth at running back, and the jury is out.
Let's face it, Kevin Falk is not getting any younger.
And the jury's out on whether or not Lawrence Maroney is your everyday back for the next 8
to 10
years.
I think it's very much out. So you really, in effect, right now, are without a healthy one guy. You got a 1, you got a 1A, and you might have a 1B. That's really what you have.
But I also think, philosophically, that top 5 draft pick money in a running back based on the trend of you're going to need more than one running back to succeed, and you're going to need and running backs are hard to rely on health-wise. We see what happened with Adrian Peterson. It's a hard commitment to make at that money, top 5 at that position. I think you can get someone who's probably not as talented but might suit your needs almost as well in the second round, maybe the third round.
Sure.
That's what I think on a philosophical level. And I also think that if they do have a top 5 pick and end up using it, they're going blue chip defensive player.
Yeah, that's what I think too. I also
don't know a position.
I also think though that the Patriots would be a huge candidate to trade down for, you know, more depth.
Without question.
Especially if they can get a quality defensive player, like you said, lower in the draft.
Without question, they're definitely a candidate to trade down. But I also think, and I actually have had some of these discussions with some people recently, I think that a team like the Patriots, who you pretty much plan on being but you can generally year after year, you're a playoff team or on the cusp of it, meaning you're drafting in the 20 and beyond range. Every now and then, and in this case it would be 6 years since they had a pick like that, every now and then it doesn't hurt to have a big-time top five, top seven pick who's going to be a blue chipper, probably the best player at his position in the draft. Yeah, you got to pay a lot of money to, and you never know about college players, but to have an opportunity to get one of those blue chippers that you can only get in the top five or top seven, every 6 or 7 years, if you have that opportunity, you might have to do it.
Yeah. George in Worcester says, first off, good show. You guys provide useful insight of the Patriots and the rest of the NFL. Thank you, George. Now to my question. Seeing as the Patriots have relied mostly on their passing game since Sammy Morris went down, do you see the Patriots now with 7 games to go using the running game more as the colder weather starts to set in with potential inclement weather games possible? Also, I wasn't sure as to why Sammy Morris was placed on IR. He was first expected to miss a month, perhaps returning the next few weeks. Was it a case of a misdiagnosed injury, or did it have some sort of deadline as far as making a decision whether to keep him on the roster or deactivate him? No, his injury just didn't heal.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's still hurt. Yeah, I don't. You know, when
he's got chest injury.
When you hear timetables and you hear, well, he might be back in this time, might be back at that time. It's, you know, the team hesitates to do that. I think it was one of those where they knew right away. I bet they knew right away that there's a chance it could end up being a season-ending injury, but they weren't sure about it right off the bat, and they figured, hey, we got 3 or 4 weeks here before, you know, we have some time. We don't have to make a call right now. Let's see how he does. Let's progress. Let's see how he proceeds, and 3 or 4 weeks from now, we'll diagnose it again. We'll see where he's at,
right.
And if we think it's going to be February at the earliest before he comes back, we'll have to reluctantly put him on IR. If we think he can come back for the stretch run, then we'll hold off a little bit. So, you know, any predictions that you may have heard about when he might come back, I don't think it was a misdiagnosis. I think it was
they were just kind of waiting and seeing, and then, of course, they made the determination that he's going to need the rest of the year to heal.
A week or two ago, they decided, that he won't be effective this year, even if he, you know, whenever he heals, better off just letting him heal correctly, and we'll see in 08.
All right, exactly. And the question is to using the running game more as the colder weather starts to set in. Absolutely, it always goes that way. But that's not going to keep this team from throwing the football either.
No, they'll you know, maybe they'll be a little more. I think they've been pretty well balanced, but I think maybe you'll see them run it a little more. And you know, I mean, we'll see how much. I mean, look, every game the rest of the way is pretty much a cold weather game. It's either home or in the Northeast. So they don't have far to go.
That's true.
No, so they. You know, they will probably run the ball a little more, but, I agree with you. I don't think they're going to be holding off on the pass.
Well, here's Craig from North Carolina. Is that right, North Carolina? I thought he was South Carolina. Did he move? I didn't even know that, Craig.
Different Carolina.
Yeah. He does email us, even though he didn't call today. He says, will the weather this Sunday in Buffalo give us a glimpse into the game plan for the upcoming winter playoffs? Have you seen the early forecast?
Yeah, I mean, I did take a quick look. I don't think it's too bad. I mean, I think it's typical Buffalo at night in November. I don't think so.
Snow? No.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be in the 40s or, you know, I think it's going to be chilly, but I don't think it's going to be a winter weather type of situation. But, yeah, I mean, will it give us a glimpse of the game plan? I mean, I don't know. Not specific game plans, but will they maybe run the ball more than they pass? Maybe, but I don't think it's even going to be that much.
I don't think it's going to change those guys, whatever it does. I don't think it'll change what they do one iota, to be honest with you. He also says, now this says Craig from South Carolina. Which is it, Craig?
Did he move during the email?
I don't know. He must have moved between emails. Was it shocking to you guys how the commentators last night were ferociously tearing into the carcass of Sean Alexander? At least 4 of ESPN's finest implied that since he got paid, he has stopped trying to be an impact player. Emmett Smith said that tackling Alexander would be like hugging a pillow. They collectively stated that the loss of Strong and Hutchinson is being used as an excuse. Wow.
I didn't hear it, so I don't. I think I heard Keyshawn Johnson tear into him a little bit. I think he brought up the, hey, he had a great year in whatever it was, 04, then cashed in and signed a huge contract and has not been the same since. Sort of questioning his commitment based on having, received a big contract. I did hear some of the excuse-making, the Max Strong, the Steve Hutchinson and all that. But, hey, I mean, if you're a great back, you're probably going to be running behind lesser offensive linemen than Steve Hutchinson, one of the best in the league. So you better be able to get it done, with another lineman. I don't know what the situation is with him, but clearly what a major decline in production from, 05 that he had a huge year? I think it was 05. And then the last 2 years have just been – if he's even on the field, have just been minimal production. So I didn't hear the complete piling on, but I think I heard bits and pieces last night.
Yeah. I think what they're looking for, just to try to give a little insight as to some of those players on their quote-unquote panel, They're looking for guys to go out on a limb and be somewhat polarizing in their opinions. They're not paying guys like Emmett Smith and who else the hell is up there?
Well, Keyshawn.
Oh, and then Steve Young. They're not paying those guys to get up there and be plain Jane. They're paying those guys to get up there and go out on a limb and take a stand. Unfortunately, in Steve Young's case, sometimes, you know, he's got his foot squarely in his mouth. So, you know, he forgets what it's like to be a player. So I think it's a difficult role, actually, for some of those guys to fulfill.
Great to give your opinion and all that. Make it informed. Make it intelligent.
Yeah,
and
don't go off half-cocked. Do a little homework. Do your research going into it.
And don't just rip someone for the sake of ripping someone because you're on TV and you're told to take a stand. I mean, right. let's make it informed. Let's pick and choose your
Some spot. Guys obviously do research. Others, I think, as we know, do not. Yeah. Okay, this one comes from John, who says, can the Patriots stay focused on the perfect season? Yes, they can, but I do not think they will. Yeah. Whenever Bill Belichick locks up the playoffs, he gets that urge to experiment. We may see Sale throw the ball, perhaps a defense with no down lineman. I have no idea what will come out of his mind, but if BB thinks there is something to work on, he will work on it before he worries about the streak.
Right.
What do you think?
I think that's interesting. I mean, I think that all of those other little gimmicks, if I want to lack of another word, are independent of. Are they going undefeated? I mean, when he has things like – now, let's put, like, the Flutie dropkick. I mean, that was a separate – let's put that aside. Things like Vrabel going out to catch passes, Hoekstein, Seymour, those aren't because, you know what, I want to throw a bone to these players. I want to give them another – a chance to shine another way. Those are strategic, strategic moves. Some work, some don't. As far as if they're going to stay focused, I hope it's understood that if they do lose a game – does it have to be because they weren't focused? If they do end up losing a game, now I'm not saying that we can rule that out. But let's say they lose a game, is it automatically because they weren't focused? I Like I hope we're not.
Yeah.
No.
I think you bring up a good point. No, I don't necessarily think it's automatically because they're not focused. I think if they lose a game, my guess is if they lose a game based on what we've seen through 9 weeks now, is that they did something to shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah,
I'll give you that.
Well, based on the way they played so far, they have to shoot themselves in the foot.
I don't think sometimes mistakes are made because you're not focused. I think other teams can cause you to make mistakes.
Mistakes could be made because you're playing against another good NFL football team.
That's true.
That's possible.
And you got field position and you have field conditions that you have to worry about, which, again, could be a factor later in the year.
Could be a factor all the way all the way to the Super Bowl.
Focus, though, again, just to kind of balance this thing out here, Brian, focus could also be a problem. Let's face it. If you're not focused on what your duty is on a specific play out on the field, maybe the ball goes over your head. Maybe you run a different route and Brady throws a pick. I mean, or maybe you miss a tackle because of, you're concerned about something else. I mean, it's possible.
Right.
I think with this team, based on what we've seen through 9 weeks, it's not probable. But it's possible.
And also on this team, based on what we've seen, if a player or the team is not focused on a given play or even a given series, they probably will be focused enough in that game or enough other players will be focused that they're going to overcome that one mental lapse or that one small series of mental lapses. So, it seems like they're that much more talented than most of these other teams that they might be able to overcome a mental mistake here or there or a physical mistake here or there. That's the difference where – in past years, even with the Patriots, when they were winning games, much tighter games, even during record winning streaks, one or two more mental lapses in a game could be the difference between winning and losing. Whereas right now, if they made mental mistakes against Miami a couple weeks ago, it didn't matter. I mean, they were still winning by 3 touchdowns. They might be able to, in other words, they might be able to overcome some lapses of focus here and there.
All right, Brian in San Francisco sends this one. Says, John, I got a question for you. I think we can all agree that if the Pats go 19-0 this year, they can be seen as possibly the greatest team ever assembled. But let me ask you this. Let's say the Pats end up 15-1. They break all of the offensive records that they are threatening. Then they go on to win the Super Bowl. Will they still be regarded as possibly the greatest team ever?
Of course.
Or perhaps they are then lumped in with one of those great teams like the 85 Bears, 90s Cowboys, 70s Steelers, etc. That said, I do believe they will be 16-0 this year. They won't admit it, but I'm sure the players and coaches are thinking about their piece of history and want to make that happen. I agree with you that is the best motivation they have now and all that they need.
Yeah, I mean, good question. I mean, yeah, they'll still be considered one of the greatest teams ever if they only lose a game. They'll be lumped in but with those other teams in the sense that, yeah, they won as many games and they won the Super Bowl too. But if they win 15 games, break numerous offensive records, numerous team and individual offensive records, and win the Super Bowl, they'd be considered one of the best team, if not the greatest team ever.
Well, I think that you'll start to hear the comparisons then between the 07 Patriots and the 72 Dolphins, and realize now if the Patriots manage to go 16-0 in the regular season and lose somehow in the playoffs, then you still have to consider them almost on par with the Dolphins because of the number of games played. If the Patriots go 15-1 and sweep through the playoffs and go, you know, and finish 18-1, nobody's ever won 18 games. I don't believe.
Is that right? 15. No one's won 15
anybody,
regular season
anybody,
games.
I don't think
three.
So.
None of the teams that won went 15-1.
I don't think that they won. I'm not sure. Well, I'd have to go back and look. I'd have to look at it.
Well, the Bears.
I don't think so.
The Bears in the Super Bowl that year. How many?
Were they 15-1? And then won 18?
I feel like they were. I could be wrong.
Maybe.
On that.
All right. Maybe.
That's a candidate. But whatever it is, if they go 15, if they win 15 regular season games and do end up winning the Super Bowl, they will
and
be considered,
set the records.
And set the records. If they win 15 games, set records, but don't win the Super Bowl, then that's a different story. I mean, you've got to have
you've got to
win that Super Bowl
that's the big
to
thing.
Be considered one of the
greatest. See, and I think overall, Brian, you have to win a championship to be considered a great team anyway. There's some very good teams, and maybe even arguably some great teams that never won championships, that never entered the discussion and will never enter the discussion because they ultimately did not win a championship.
Right. Now consider this scenario. I mean, let's say the Patriots go 15-1. Let's say there was an NFC team that also went 15-1 and they met up in the Super Bowl. Only one of them could win the Super Bowl. Would the one who went 15-1 in the regular season maybe didn't break records but lost in the Super Bowl to a fellow 15-1 team? You know, that's a good argument. Could they still be considered one of the greatest? What if the 15-1 team that did break all the regular season records lost to a 15-1 team in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
You know? That could happen.
I think that's legitimate.
That could happen.
Yeah, I suppose it could.
Not happening this year.
Do we figure out what the other Super Bowls were? We're still looking. Okay. All right. No problem. Let's go to Kent. Kent writes, I would love to see the Pats go 16-0 and win the Super Bowl, but I would hate to see Indy get a bye in the first round. If the Pats go 16-0, that means the Pats beat Pitt, which would give them three losses, and Indy would have two. So Indy would most likely have the bye. The difficult games, Tennessee and Jacksonville, are at home. If the Patriots lose to Pitt and Pitt wins out, which might happen because their schedule is not as hard after the Pats, Indy would most likely have to play on the road for all three of their playoff games.
All three? No.
If you win your division, you are guaranteed a game at home.
Right. If you win your division, your first game is at home. It's just a matter of do you have a bye or are you playing a wild card weekend?
That's correct. Then, that happened to the Patriots last year.
It did. They played at
home. Won the division. They had to play in the wild card. They didn't
and
have
the
bye.
The road
so
twice.
They got the home game and then won on the road
that's
twice.
That's taxing.
Yeah.
I mean, the difference between having a 1-2 seed versus a 3 or 4 seed is monstrous.
Huge.
Because while you're having a physical wild card weekend game, those 1-2 seeds are kicking back at home, drink in hand, feet up on the sofa, and you're watching football, watching the other teams duke it out. So there's a big difference.
The 85 Bears did go 15-1. So they went 18-1. So you would end up matching the 85 Bears.
Right.
And the Niners did too, I think? 84 Niners?
Okay.
Which I believe Russell told you in his segment.
Oh, research, ESPN research
true.
Guy.
That's true, he did. Well, that just shows you where my brain is today. Mush. I'm suffering from CRS today.
Mush.
So there you go. All right, so you'd have to, yeah, exactly. So you would have to, yeah, I figured that you're probably right that the Bears had done that.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about the 84-49ers, and yet Russell did mention that. Okay.
Yep.
Just shows you sometimes.
Hey, match game Russell.
I know, yeah. Match game Russell. All right, so while we have a couple of minutes left, what's on Patriots today? What do we got cooking?
Well, you know, we are talking about the Jacksons, Chad Jackson and Eddie Jackson. You know, the bye week doesn't mean there's no news because we did have actually three guys back at practice yesterday for the first time, Chad Jackson, Eddie Jackson, of course, Troy Brown. There you go. We heard from the Jackson 2 yesterday. Chad and Eddie, and obviously Chad is the one who gets a little more is a little more intriguing. Obviously, we know what some of his physical skills are. We know a little bit about what he did last year. He'd inconsistent and not a ton of production, but when he did produce a couple of long touchdowns, and you got a glimpse of what he could do, he's trying to crack into a fairly deep and productive wide receiver core, to say the least.
Do you think he will?
Well, I don't think he's going to be active this week. And I don't think he's going to make much of an impact this year. I do think that, if anything, they will try to get him in there. I think they consider him talented and not yet someone to, you know, turn their back on. Like we mentioned with Maroney, the
right.
jury's still out on him. But right. anyways, we hear from him today and some of his outlook on what he can or can't do this year and how he feels. And Eddie Jackson as well. I think Eddie Jackson is going to step right in and be a special teams regular starting Sunday, I think.
Okay, good stuff.
So there you go.
By the way, Alex sends in this note real quick. He says, Paul Zimmerman of SI.com, talking about Manning's game on Sunday, wrote, a quarterback who stands tall in the pocket, facing a minimal rush, throwing to an all-star cast of receivers is a pretty picture, but there's nothing about it that reaches me on an emotional level. Do I smell a shot at Brady? Where was Dr. Z on 2001 and 2003? Well, first of all, I would argue that he didn't have exactly an all-star cast of receivers to throw to on Sunday.
Right.
I mean, it was almost painful. You knew that he was looking for Reggie Wayne every time he dropped back to pass. I mean, that team is hurting without Marvin Harrison in there.
Right. Without Marvin Harrison, without Anthony Gonzalez, most importantly, probably without Dallas Clark.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, they could probably
and
get
I still can't believe that they almost won that game, that they had no business even being in. Shame on San Diego for not drilling
them. Yeah. And they should have won the game, or at least should have been ahead with a minute something left
on the
Vinatieri field goal.
Vinatieri,
you know, I think the Colts offense can do just fine in given games if they don't have Marvin Harrison, or if they don't have Dallas Clark,
but both of
or
them?
If they don't have Anthony Gonzalez, or if they don't have their left tackle, or if they don't lose our right tackle in the game.
I heard during the game they had 14 healthy offensive players suited up.
Something like that. I'm not feeling sorry for them. We've been, you know, the Patriots have been in this kind of position before. I mean, things are so bad that they're picking up Simeon Rice now for the on the defense. Now we're talking about with Freeney out. They're hurting. They've got some issues right now.
They're hurting on offense too.
They're hurting on both all the way around, and they have the most inconsistent, unreliable kicker in the league.
What I think, listen to that. I heard that. See, here's the thing. I mean, what it does is shows that Peyton Manning, without the proper weapons, he's human.
Right, and
that's all it shows.
Six interceptions.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah, I mean,
but what it does, it shows that he's human.
Yeah.
I mean, it shows you also what those targets have meant to him and his career.
Right.
Let's face it, you know. And I think this is why, you know, when it comes to who's better, Manning or Brady, it's a moot point.
Instead
now that they both have, or at least, you know, we can see now what one can do with the type of receivers. Now this last week showed us what one does when he doesn't have the receivers that he's had in the past.
Yeah.
Well, things are equal here. These guys are both good quarterbacks. Let's just leave it at that. We said time and time again, you put Brady on Indy and you put Peyton Manning on New England, the teams don't miss a beat,
right.
I don't think.
Right.
Not a beat.
I think instead of signing off for four new commercial endorsements this week, I think Manning only got two after that performance.
May very well be.
Yeah.
Thanks, B-Lo.
Thank you, John.
All right. Listen, just like I said in the opening hour here, unfortunately, fortunately for me, I will not be here tomorrow and Thursday because of some college basketball duties. I'll be at the O'Reilly Auto Parts ESPNU Puerto Rico Tip-Off Classic.
Puerto Rico?
Yeah, Puerto Rico.
PC plays who?
We open up Thursday afternoon with Temple.
Providence Temple.
Providence Temple.
And how many teams
Thursday.
Are in this extravaganza?
Eight teams. And then the Friars, if they beat Temple on Thursday, will play the 18th-ranked Arkansas Razorbacks on Friday.
Now, is Arkansas the highest-ranked team in this Puerto Rican tournament?
Yes, they are.
You ever been to Puerto Rico?
I have never been to Puerto Rico.
Cool.
So this will be a first for me. I've been all over the Caribbean.
Yeah.
I've been down to Jamaica and been to the Dominican, but I've never been to Puerto Rico.
Right.
So it'll be fun. So in my place tomorrow, we will have programs here. So I want you to give all due respect.
The show goes on without John.
Absolutely. It must, because we have football to talk about, and the Patriots do have a game against the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo this next Sunday night at 8 o'clock. So in that regard, Michael Parenti, who has covered the Pats beat for the Woonsocket Call, and I believe now for all of the Journal Register newspapers in southern New England. He is going to be here hosting tomorrow and Thursday for you, Patriots Playbook. So I want you to give him your undivided attention and give him the courtesy, or the lack thereof, that you would give me.
The guy's good.
Right? He's
boring.
Good. No, he's not boring. He's a good kid.
Good guy.
He's a great guy. And
a good talk show host.
He's a good host. We've actually had him as a guest on this program in the past.
How long are we going here?
We've thought so much of his ability that we wanted to give him a chance. So he will be here with you tomorrow and Thursday beginning at 2 o'clock Eastern time. Right? There you go. And until that point in time, how do they say it in Puerto Rico? See yous. See yous later.
See yous.
Well, that'll wrap up today's Pat's Match Game 07. Tune in next time for another edition of Pat's Match Game 07. Pat's Match Game is a production of Kraft Sports, Patriots Football Network Productions, all rights reserved, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Christina Acra sounds hot.
Cherry pie?
Go Pats.